The Tom Woods Show, episode 1328.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're like me, one of the most demoralizing things is when someone utters the truth and then lamely apologizes. Well, not these folks. I've got a free ebook of stories from heroic professors who told the PC mob to go pound sand. Stories from Jordan Peterson, Michael Rechtenwald, and others. Check it out at againstthemob.com. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here, talking to you all by myself today. No guest. Just talking about what's been going on this week. And I know, for heaven's sake, I know a lot of you folks must be tired of hearing about the whole matter about the Covington High School kids at the March for Life when they were gathered at the Lincoln Memorial waiting for their bus to take them back to Kentucky. I am sure you're tired of hearing about this. I got to say something about it because I'm thinking about just the media in general lately because of this and another story that I hope I have time to get to here. Well, why wouldn't I? It's just me. There's no guest whose time I'm trespassing on, so I think I will have time to get to both stories. But I have been writing about this, as I mentioned, in my newsletter, and the hardcoreiest of the hardcore Tom Woods Show listeners get that newsletter. My most recent free ebook is Our Enemy, the Fed, which you can get at ourenemythefed.com, and that also entitles you to the newsletter. You start getting it. Anyway, I wrote a couple pieces about this situation, and I have to say there have been some people who have been absolutely top-notch, outstanding on it the whole time. And among them certainly is Robbie Suave over at Reason. He's just been great. He did not fall for this at all. He thought that as a journalist, he ought to look into the situation a little bit more deeply. So for those of you who may not know what's going on, and it surprises me, they're actually, and in a way I credit you for not knowing, there are some people who are not actually aware of what I'm talking about. So let's go back a bit. And the gist of it is this, that there were some high school kids from a Catholic school in Kentucky who had come to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. So right away, first of all, this demonizes them in the minds of a great many of the commentators. Because right away they say, well, so even when it turns out that the story that demonized them was wrong, the response was, well, you know, they came here to march against women's rights. All right, but you know, at the very least, it's controversial whether abortion is a woman's right. I mean, that's at the very least controversial. You can admit that. So simply declaring it so doesn't make it so, or capitalizing the W and the R, that doesn't make it so. But anyway, right away, they're viewed as being terrible. And a few of them were, now you're going to have to sit down for this. All right. You're going to have to sit down. A few of them were wearing hats that said, Make America Great Again on them. So again, whether or not you're accusing them of something they actually did, they pretty much deserve anything you do to them. Right. What are they, 16 years old? And they're wearing a hat that you don't like when they're 16 years old? Because I'm sure none of the people criticizing them ever did anything when they were 16 that they later changed their minds about, right? I'm sure these people have been the very model of consistency throughout their lives. And I'm sure they would want to be demonized and humiliated and doxxed and threatened with violence to the point where their school had to be shut down for a day. I'm sure that's what I mean, it's unbelievable, right? So anyway, the story basically runs as follows. Initially, what we saw, and this was like breaking news, had to interrupt your regularly scheduled programming to tell you that in Washington, D.C., there's just been a confrontation where some young, white, privileged, of course they're privileged, they're white, they're privileged, privileged young boys, they harassed a well-meaning old Native American man. And wow, look at the smirk on that kid's face. And they surrounded him and they were chanting, build that wall. So immediately everybody went into demonization mode. Oh my goodness gracious, this is terrible. This is all I need to see, or these, you know, 28 seconds. That's all I need. And so the usual suspects were all over it, right? We're being lectured to about how terrible this is. Of course, also half the conservative movement jumped on the bandwagon because the conservative movement is a bunch of cowards and losers for the most part. I just give up on these people. It's not to say there aren't some decent people in it, But my gosh, have you got terrible spokesmen. Oh my gosh, are these people awful. See, the left, they wonder why they're losing. The left does not feel this comparable urge to appease its opponents. Whereas the right, they have to immediately rush to make sure everybody knows their profound respect for Native Americans. As if anyone cares, as if that's going to change anybody's mind about National Review, for example, they immediately rush into this mode. The left does not even ever think this way. Never. So that happened. Then, of course, naturally, the bishop of the place and the diocese and the school itself, they denounce the students immediately. It's not, well, look, we know these kids. There's got to be more to this. Let's just hang on a minute while we try and assess what's going on here. It's all very murky. No. And that's because people in that situation are without fail cowards, always and everywhere. They're cowards. So if you are ever in a situation where you say, well, I sure hope people in the chancery office will back me up, the chancery office of the diocese, or I sure hope the school administration will stand up for me, it's all over, folks. Okay, if you as soon as you start saying that, it is over. You are sunk. So all that condemnation came, and it was just they were compared to Klansmen. And obviously what was really going on here is that this, they were being made an example of. We hate these types of Americans. We hate them. And I don't know if it's because some of them grew up with kids in school they didn't like and they've carried those resentments till later in life, or if it's more just a political statement. We want to make clear that we hope you all understand that if you have certain political views and you dare to wear a certain hat, we are coming after you, and we're going to destroy you with whatever we have at our disposal. Well, then it turned out that there was further video footage. So I watched the video. I watched hours of video footage. I don't normally do this. I don't have the time because I want to be spending time with the kids and whatever. So I just stayed up late in order to make the time. I made the time to watch the video. Here's the actual story. The actual story is, you have these kids waiting for their bus. Then there's some kind of a Native American demonstration going on. And then harassing the Native Americans is a group of black racists known as the Black Hebrews or Black Hebrew Israelites. And they're standing there shouting at the Native Americans that it's because of their own false worship that the Lord took their land away from them. Could you imagine what would have happened if those young kids had said something like that? We'd never hear the end of it. Whereas I bet a lot of people listening to this didn't even know that was said, right? I bet you didn't even hear that. So you got these black racists standing there shouting this all out. And then they called the American Indians, you know how they have Uncle Tom? They called them Uncle Tomahawks. Okay, could you imagine if the white kids had shouted that out? So that type of language is being thrown out there. And I put all this in my, I'll put these articles that I wrote, I made them into blog posts after I used them in my email newsletter. I'll put them up at tomwoods.com/1328 because it just has to be read to be believed. I've also embedded the video so you can watch for yourselves. So then for about an hour, these black racists are shouting horrifying things at kids from Kentucky who have probably, not probably, certainly, never in their lives encountered lunatics like this. You know, normally you have to live in New York City to be exposed to cultural enrichment like this, which is where people deal with the black Hebrews. So they've never seen anything like this. They've never had people shouting at them that they are pedophiles, for example. Or let's see, what have I got here? I actually jotted it all down. I jotted down some of the names. Yeah. Now again, if you're in the car, you're going to want to turn the, let's say I'll be done in 15 seconds. So if you want to turn the volume down, if you got kids in the car, I'll be done in 15 seconds. Okay. Starting right now. They shouted at the kids, "You little dirty ass crackers, your day coming. Dusty ass animals, bunch of child molesting," and then an F word that's used as a disparaging term for homosexuals. They also compare the kids to dogs and hyenas. I mean, it just goes on and on. Then there's a black student among, well, I think at least one in the group, and the black Hebrews shout to him that probably the white students are going to murder him and harvest his organs. Now, this didn't make the news either, because, of course, this is totally ho-hum, right? This is not interesting to anybody for some reason. So that's what was going on. Then the kids were told that probably they're all going to wind up being school shooters, and they look like they're about to shoot up a school right now. So this goes on for close to an hour. They shout at the students further that they're terrible people because they recognize that homosexuals have rights. And the kids booed this and said, hey, we're all human. So these are the hateful people, by the way. The kids are the hateful people, not the black racists shouting these things out. And when the black racists were shouting out to that bizarre thing to the black student, one of the other students went over to him and said, but we love you. Now, these are the hateful ones. I mean, it's just straight out of Orwell. Now, also in the video, we find that somebody comes up to these black Hebrews. Now, I don't know if it's just a random woman or if she was involved in the Native American demonstration. That's not clear from the video. And she's trying to challenge the claims that they're making, the religious claims. And one of the black Hebrews goes right into his own camera. So they're actually documenting this for us. I mean, these people fully exonerated these kids. It's a good thing they did have this video. He looks into the camera and he says, this is the problem, Israel. It's always our women coming up with they loud mouth, thinking they can come and distract things with they loud ass mouth. Sorry for that. If your kids were there, sorry, that just came out. Because they not used to dealing with no real men. How about that? Now, there's worse stuff in here. You can look in my articles at tomwoods.com/1328. That's the kind of people you're dealing with. So into this situation enters Nathan Phillips. This guy, we find out later, he's a longtime left-wing agitator. People were calling him a Vietnam veteran, and then they realized his age made that impossible. He was not a Vietnam veteran. On and on and on with this guy, right? This guy shows up beating a drum, and he tells CNN that he intervened because he had to protect the blacks against the whites. I mean, we've got the video. The thing is, it's like he's living in a world where there's no internet. But see, there is an internet. And on that internet, we have the entire video of what happened. So we can clearly see there was no... these kids were positively heroic in how they handled an hour's worth of vile, racist filth being spewed at them. They just basically stood there and took it. Occasionally, they shouted a few things, but they were all just things that anybody might shout. Like, you know, hey, stop, you know, what? I mean, just trying to defend themselves. But basically, they more or less just sat there and took it, and they must have been bewildered. They don't encounter anything like this before, so given that they were thrown into a totally bizarre situation, they handled themselves about as well as any kids could. I mean, I can't imagine there'd be another high school in whatever neighborhood where the kids would be that well-behaved under those particular circumstances. So anyway, this Nathan Phillips, the story originally was that these kids went up to him and were harassing him. No. He admits it. He walked right into their crowd, banging a drum, and he's banging it right in the face of one of those students, banging it right in his face, which is inappropriate, right? You shouldn't be in somebody's personal space, so he should be rebuked for this. And at first, now the way the students tell it, and this seems to reflect what we see in the video, they say, well, you know, basically they were more or less drowning out the black racists by doing some school cheers, which they were already doing before Phillips goes up to them. And they say, well, we thought he was beating his drum along to our cheers, so we just kept doing the cheers. When one of his companions starts lecturing the kids about how they should go back to Europe, and we've been here, you know, basically forever, one of the students tries to correct him by explaining the theory of the Bering Land Bridge. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, trying to explain where actually the natives themselves originally came from, because there are theories about this, that actually they passed through Alaska via the Bering Land Bridge and whatever. But the kid, and I really don't want to use the names, even though everybody knows the names at this point. I still am old-fashioned enough. You know, when there's a victim, I don't want to use the name. But the student who was standing there you know, kind of looking at this Nathan Phillips banging a drum in his face, motioned to the other student, don't engage with them. You know, don't, I mean, maybe you got the best of the argument, but just don't engage with them. So again, that contradicts the story. These are terrible racist kids out to cause problems. The problems came to them. And then the guy everyone is taught to hate now was trying to de-escalate them. So that's basically the story of what happened. Now, then people will say, well, but the kids were making gestures like, you know, we see at least one of them doing a tomahawk chop. All right, look. If a high school kid doing a tomahawk chop means we have to have our programming interrupted, something is really, really weird, okay? Yeah, you shouldn't do that, but for heaven's sake, this is earth-shattering news. Find me a high school anywhere in America, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, where you wouldn't have seen that. Big deal. That's nothing. That is a zero. Because that isn't what initially the story was. They were harassing this well-meaning old gentleman, and then they surrounded him. And and then they were supposed to be chanting, build that wall. There is absolutely no video or audio evidence of anybody chanting, build that wall. So in other words, the major things that were used to demonize them are completely false. Nothing to them whatsoever. And in fact, even Phillips later walked back his claim that they had said, build that wall. It was like he had this brief moment where he remembered there's an internet. You know, so he, well, I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Oh, you don't say, really? Well, anyway, the media then covers this absurdly. There are a lot of corrections. There are even some apologies. There were some apologies from some people. Some people on the left were honest enough to apologize. Most of the people in the conservative movement apologized. Bill Kristol, the creep, who just saw this as another opportunity to attack Trump. So the kids don't actually matter. They're just pawns for him, which is typical for Kristol because everybody's a pawn for him. The people who live in the countries he wants to bomb are just pawns. What does he care about them? Kristol, instead of apologizing, just deletes his tweets. So he ruins somebody's reputation, but then instead of apologizing like an actual person, he just deletes the tweets, right? This is the great moral exemplar the media has been fawning over for his stand against Trump. And it turns out, you know, as we could have told them, the guy's a creep. Well, meanwhile, speaking of creeps, this Nathan Phillips, the Native American guy with the drum, this man is a con man. There's just no way around it. Let's look at the interview he gave on CNN. So they're asking him about, you know, what were the circumstances? And he says, we were finishing up with Indigenous Peoples March and rally, and there were some folks there that were expressing their First Amendment rights there, freedom of speech. So that's his description of the black Hebrews that I told you about. These were some folks who were expressing their First Amendment rights. Oh, okay. Notice he doesn't extend that courtesy to the students. They weren't some folks expressing their First Amendment rights. So here's what he says. The folks that were having their moment there, so he's talking about the black racists, they were saying things that I don't know if I agreed with them or not. Well, that's bold. The man is bold. I don't know if I agreed with them or not, but some of it was educational and it was truth and it was history about religious views and ideologies. But these other folks, the young students, they couldn't see it. They had one point of view, it seemed, and that was their point of view was the only point of view that was worthwhile. All right, it's convoluted, but can you imagine that what I just described to you, I mean, you can see, you don't have to take my word for it. Watch the video. It's all in there. Here's this guy saying, now these black races are saying horrible things to the Native Americans and horrible things to the white students. And he concludes, you know, these students need to be confronted, right? How dare they? They've been accused of being pedophiles, child molesters. The names are unbelievable. The things that were said to them were unbelievable, that adults said to them. Now, of course, if the guy had any stones, he would have taken his drum and beaten it in the faces of the black racists. But I think he decided that doesn't give him quite the photo op that he wants. So instead, he marches into kids who have done nothing up to this point other than take abuse. Nothing. And he thinks they're the one. How deranged would you have to be to think these are the people who need to be corrected? And then let's go further here. These people are saying you deserved to lose your land. That's what Phillips and his people were told. And his response is, well, I don't know if I agreed with them or not. What? You don't? You want me to play the tape for you? Go over it? I don't know if I agreed with them or not. The man is bold. You know, he's not saying he's totally on board with them. You know, he boldly says that there's a chance he might disagree. Unbelievable. So he's, here's the thing. He says that the students had one point of view and they thought their point of view was the only one that was worthwhile. No, exactly the opposite is the truth. The black racists are the ones saying that if you don't worship in their way, you deserve all kinds of terrible things to happen to you. Now, could you imagine if those kids said that, what we would be talking about? He would be condemning them for saying it. He wouldn't be saying it was truth and all this convoluted, you can barely understand what he's saying. He wouldn't be doing that. All right. Then he says, here's a moment where something that's really ugly in our society, in America, had just come to a boiling point. So what constitutes ugliness for this guy is not calling kids the names that I mentioned earlier. Why, that's just some folks exercising their First Amendment rights, you racist. So, in fact, you would never know anything at all about the black racists if you relied on Nathan Phillips, who never says a word about them, except to portray them as victims. Victims of nothing, because nothing happened to them. There was no boiling point. Nobody was doing anything apart from the kids became a little rowdy, singing school cheers, again, to try to drown out these horrible people. Then he says, so he forgets himself right here. He forgets that there's an internet and that we all have the video. He says, it looked like these young men were going to attack these guys. No evidence of that. You watch the video. There's nothing remotely indicates that. He says, they were going to hurt them. They were going to hurt them because they didn't like the color of their skin. Evidence? How do you know that? How do you know that they were thinking anything about the color of their skin? You don't know that, what, because they're wearing a hat? Really? Because they're wearing a hat? Give me a break. And then, to be honest, they looked like they were going to lynch them. They looked like they were going to lynch them. You tell me the timestamp of that video where it looks to you like these kids were going to lynch these people who were screaming horrible things at them. This is pure crazy town. There's no evidence for this. And then he says, the song I was singing, the reason for it, was to bring unity and to bring love and compassion back into our minds and our beings as men and as protectors of what is right. Now that just takes the cake. So he sings this song, not to the lunatics who have been spewing racist filth nonstop for a solid hour, including at his own people. What a coward. He won't even stand up for his own people. He sings the song to students who had done precisely nothing. Nothing apart from existing and not being cowed. And he knew full well these students are not going to lay a hand on him. So, yeah, I think, yeah, he chose those to be the people to get the drum. And then he says, I felt like I denied them their prey. I felt like I denied them their prey, and so they were going to take it out on me. Again, not a stitch of evidence for this. How come after Phillips left 2 minutes later, the kids didn't just go and lynch those men as they were allegedly intending to, with school chaperones standing there who were going to just allow a lynching to take place? So then he says, it was just build the wall. And some of the things that I heard, he said, now he remembers, wait a minute, I got to watch myself, but can't really say I exactly heard that. Yeah, okay. So it's one of those he said, she said things. It's actually not. It's a you said and nobody else said things. And then he says, why did they need 200 people there other than it's hate and racism? Well, why were there 100 to 200 students? Because they were on a school field trip and waiting for their bus. Can you imagine being at the absolute center of this episode and still not knowing the kids were on a field trip? And no, Nathan Phillips, they had not gathered for the purpose of intimidating the black racists. You remember the ones you're not sure you agree with? They were standing there minding their own business when the folks you're not sure you agree with started calling them pedophiles and telling a black student in their group that they were probably going to kill him and harvest his organs. Are you not sure you agree with that part too? Now, as I say, a lot of people said, look, I should not have rushed to judgment. I should not have done this. It turns out that the story is kind of like the opposite of what we thought. All right, great. But what shocked me, and Bob Murphy and I have been writing to each other about this week, shocked both of us, even though we're both pretty cynical about things like this, the extent to which some in the media just doubled down further. I mean, every aspect of their version of the story is contradicted by the video. Or if we're going from they were racists who harassed this innocent, well-meaning – look, first of all, this man is not innocent and well-meaning. There's nothing well-meaning about this guy. If you looked at that situation and thought to yourself, it's the kids who need to be lectured, you're off your rocker, okay? At the very least, you're off your rocker. And then after that, he and his group, by the way, tried to disrupt the mass going on at the Basilica in D.C., and security kept them out. Because, of course, he's entitled to just march anywhere he wants to, right up in your face, on private property, wherever, because he's Nathan Phillips, and you're just some white dude. I mean, that's the attitude of this guy. That's not a good or admirable person in any way. He's done nothing to foster mutual understanding in this situation. He's done nothing but create racial tension where there was none or where there was less before. And he did nothing to go after the source of the racial tension because he's either a coward or I think he's both a coward and a propagandist and a liar. Prove me wrong. His version of events, it's just pure crazy town. So anyway, the media doubles down. So they try to start digging things up. So then they say, well, here's a homosexual valedictorian from Covington High School who was not allowed to deliver the valedictory speech. And we found him, and he says he's not surprised by the video. Okay, well, it turns out this kid did not go to their high school. He went to another Covington school. He did not go to their school. And secondly, he wasn't told he couldn't give the speech because he was homosexual. He was told he couldn't give the speech because he turned it in too late, and it was on a political topic, and they had said these speeches are not to be political. And by the way, that's a great rule. Because let me tell you something, even if you are the valedictorian, which I was in my class, nobody wants to sit there listening to some 17-year-old think he has all the answers, okay? That's a great rule. And when I was valedictorian, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess something to you. I gave a totally political speech, and you may be thinking, all right, Woods, you gave them libertarianism good and hard. No, I gave them a speech about why they needed to pay higher taxes for schools. I am mortified looking back on this. Mortified. I wish there had been a rule like that. It would have protected me from myself. And it certainly would have protected my audience from my, you know, 20 minutes of drivel. Anyway, so look, this is not even, the kid's not even from the same school. But I bet most people retweeting this had no idea that. They're not even reading. And initially, people weren't saying it was the same. So it's not even the same school. Then it was, oh my goodness, the kids are in blackface. You think, all right, look, even before I look at this, I know that's impossible. This is 2019. Your life would be destroyed instantly if you were in blackface. Everybody knows that. So you look at it. It's a photo of the kids at what's called a blackout game. It's a basketball game. Everybody's dressed in black. Everybody. And some were in full body paint. And so, this is blackface. No, it ain't. Body paint is not blackface. The idea is everybody's in black. And you can find photos of other colors. There's a photo of them in blue. But this was blackface. The chairman of the Libertarian Party, Nicholas Sarwar, came out and condemned these kids on Twitter with everybody else, jumped on the bandwagon. And then everyone is, I think she's the secretary, Karen Ann Harlos, whom I've had my disagreements with and is not exactly a cultural right winger. But she said to him, "You know, you're crazy. Look at this. There's no reason you should be demonizing these kids. I mean, even she's on board with this." And now he's doubling down on the blackface thing. Oh, that's blackface. Look, let me tell you something. Look, there is no school in America that would allow you to set foot on its property if you were in blackface. That is a fact. Okay? If you think otherwise, then you probably think the Ku Klux Klan is a big problem in America. There are almost no members of the Ku Klux Klan anymore. There are 3,000 members, something between 3,000 and 6,000 members in the entire country. Half of them are probably FBI informants. And remember, we're dealing with hysterics. I realize that. Remember, I sent out an email about, and I talked to Scott Adams. It wasn't Scott Adams. It was another fellow, a professor from West Virginia, where there was a news item about a student on, and I can't remember the university, but she complained to the president of her university that there was a Klan rally taking place on campus. Now, again, just as with the idea that these students are in blackface, you know instantly that there was no Klan rally on that campus, right? You don't even need to know the details. That's impossible. There would never be a Klan rally on a college campus. That is impossible. In 2019, no way that's happening. It turns out what she had seen through a window was an overhead projector with a white cover on it. And she thought that was a Klansman in there. Really immobile Klansman, but a Klansman. So I get that there are hysterical people. You would think Nicholas Sarwark would not be one of those. But anyway, he's going with the blackface story. Could you imagine there being a school saying to its students, you know, students, the way ahead in our society today is through wearing blackface. A lot of people have advanced in their careers after they wore blackface. And we really want to encourage our students to advance. No. Because what they'd really be saying is, look, kids, first of all, apart from being a really crummy thing to do, you would also be destroying all your future prospects. And since we want the statistics to show that you got into college and were successful, we also have a material interest in telling you not to do that. Then we got a picture of the students or a couple of teammates on the team. And they're supposedly, this is from about, now that blackout thing, that's a photo from 7 years ago. Okay, before any of these kids were even in the school. And then it doesn't even show what it purports to show. Then it was, they're making a white supremacist sign. I mean, part of me wonders, are they really this deranged that they actually think that most people think this way and that so-called white supremacy is everywhere? If white supremacy were everywhere, if this were a white supremacist society, then white supremacist would be a term of honor that people would embrace. But instead, it's a term that gets you fired. If this were a white supremacist society, you'd be honored for being a white supremacist. Hello, right? What could be more obvious than that? Anyway, they were supposedly making a white supremacist sign, because remember, you can't make the OK sign anymore, because that secretly means white power, apparently. But you know what else happens when you make the OK sign? You're holding up three fingers, because they just made a three-point shot, you deranged lunatics. That's what they've tried to do to these kids. We're going to destroy you. But instead, I think, first of all, these kids have learned something. They learned early on how American society works these days. And I bet, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they wind up doing with their lives, because I bet at least a good number of them will become fighters against the left. I'd be shocked if they didn't after what's happened to them. Now, that's just one. And then Michael Malice has been tweeting out some of these crazy stories about what these kids have done. And it's not to say that you might not have had a handful of poorly behaved kids, but my gosh, you're going to find that in any high school in America. Black, white, Hispanic, any race at all, you are going to find that, okay? Just walk down the corridors of any school at random in America and see what you observe. That's why it's impossible for me to find, if I wanted to send my kids to a school like that, it's impossible for me to find one where, you know, my kids aren't going to feel like outcasts because they're semi-normal. So, that's a problem. But even having said that, I would say these kids deserve a medal for what they put up with, that they never returned in kind. They never shouted one racist thing at those black racists. If they had, you better believe it would be everywhere. Not one thing. Could you imagine those black racists ever being in a situation where things were being shouted at them and they just sat there and took it? Could you imagine that? Never. That's an impossibility. Anyway, Michael Malice was tweeting out these ridiculous follow-up stories trying to demonize the kids and tweeting out, the media are enemies of your children. And that is exactly right. That is exactly right. On the other hand, the good thing to come out of this is no one's going to believe anything anymore. And I think that's better. It's better for people to assume there's more to a story. You know, as somebody who's had his entire career summarized in, you know, probably two sentences from 25 years ago or something, you know, I know what that's like. It's absurd. It's crazy. So the other thing I want to mention, also related to the media here, this is from the New York Times, and this comes from a tweet from Michael Tracy. And I've wanted to have him on the show, and we got in contact. And then the times that he was available just did not work for me, and so it just kind of fell away. But I'd really like to get him on. I don't think he has any idea how much what he's saying would resonate with my folks. Tracy is on the left, but man, has he been good on the media. Man, has he been good. I mean, he's got, I think, one of the best Twitter feeds out there. M. Tracy, M-T-R-A-C-E-Y, tremendous. And what he's got is he's reproduced from the New York Times, side by side, the candidate profiles of Kamala Harris, the senator from California, and Tulsi Gabbard, because they've both announced for president. And you look at Kamala is, of course, just lionized, and she's referred to as having history-making potential. Then you look at Tulsi, and now let me just read Michael Tracy's tweet. He says, notice how the New York Times describes Kamala as having history-making potential, but omits this label for Tulsi, even though she's a minority woman. New York Times instead chooses to label Tulsi an anti-gay Assad lover. This is how establishment consensus tries to preemptively disqualify candidates. So Kamala, it's all favorable, 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 favorable. Then for Tulsi, it's supported Bernie Sanders, so okay, they're probably all right with that. Has drawn condemnation for meeting with Syria's president, whose regime has been accused of using chemical weapons against civilians. Okay, so editorializing, right? The little bit about, so we have to give you the background of this bad person that she met with. And then has apologized for her history of anti-gay statements and her past work for an anti-gay advocacy group. Now, obviously, anti-gay, you know, we have to, what do they actually mean by that? So that's how they portray her. And it makes you think to yourself, if the CIA were running a newspaper, how different would it be from the New York Times? And you may want to Google Operation Mockingbird, by the way. That's a real thing. But how would it be any different? Now, I know I'll get emails, Tulsi Gabbard's a bum and believes a lot of crazy nonsense. I'm sure she does. I mean, I have no doubt that she does. But that has nothing to do with my point, which is look at the way these two... Harris, meanwhile, is an ultra hawk, if you listen to how she talks about foreign policy. So she's okay. She has history-making potential. But Tulsi, who's been pretty hardcore on foreign policy, well, we have to caricature and demonize her. So she's the one who's going to be grilled, whereas Kamala's not going to be grilled. They're not going to say, well, now, wait a minute. Even after the total disaster of the war on terror, you're still hawkish? I mean, you think she's going to have to answer for that? Never. Why would a CIA organ ask her a question like that? Now, I'm not saying this, the New York Times is a CIA organ. I'm just saying I can't tell the difference. That's what I'm saying. I don't see how it would be any different. So in the same way, I don't believe that American history textbooks are written in smoke-filled rooms by conspirators who are trying to indoctrinate American students. But what I am saying is, if that did happen, I think the textbook would look exactly like the ones we already have. So there's the media. Now, the good thing that'll come out of this is at least a decent number of people are going to be more skeptical in the future. The nature of the enemy, and let's face it, I mean, how can you shrink from using the word enemy? The nature of the enemy has been laid bare. And let me say something. There are some libertarians out there. These are like the wimp libertarians, the curry favor with the establishment libertarians. So we know them. They're out there. And they're very uncomfortable with this language about the media being the enemy of the people. Okay, we can't say that. That's not respectable, right? Plus, Trump said it, so it's by definition wrong. But what else can we conclude here? I know a prominent or semi-prominent libertarian who wrote a whole column in response to Trump's remarks about the media being the enemy of the people, saying that the media are wonderful, we learn so much from them, they're an indispensable part of our society, and it's illiberal to attack them. All right, I guess I just have nothing in common with that la-la land brand of libertarianism. I have nothing in common with that. I don't even understand what would make somebody write a piece like that other than sheer spinelessness. I don't know. What makes you? Because obviously saying things like what I'm saying don't win you popularity contests. I don't get invited to the big cocktail parties, but, you know, screw them. I have my own party. You know, I don't need that. But I don't understand why somebody wants to be that way. I just want to let the chips fall where they may. Just say, call them like I see them. And that's what I'm doing my best to do. So if you feel the same way, I hope you will consider joining me as a supporting listener, help out the show, and be part of a group that I very much enjoy participating in. You can do that over at supportinglisteners.com. And I would really love to see you there. I don't remember how long I've had the group, but I've been on the air, so to speak, doing this podcast now for nearly 5.5 years. That is astonishing to me. And here we are in episode 1,328. If they have value to you, if you benefit from them, and if you just like to, in a virtual sense, hang out with me, then please join me at supportinglisteners.com and spread the word about the podcast, link to it, tell your friends. If you have libertarian friends who aren't listening to the Tom Woods Show, that's just cruelty on your part, right? You gotta turn over a new leaf in 2019. All right, everybody, thanks so much for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.